Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. I'm your host, JP, joined as always by the other host, that guy, Nick Martin, who's making a rare appearance in public. How are you, bud?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic, man. Yeah. We are doing a live and in-person episodic podcast of Dadcast today at our buddy, our friend, our partner, Mr. Joe Moxley of Moxley Media. How are you, Joe?
You're doing great, man. Thanks for having us.
Appreciate Absolutely. That. We are inside Moxley Media, where they do amazing work. They print shirts. They make stickers. They do all kinds of crazy stuff. Check them out, moxleymedia.com.
Shirts like the one you're wearing.
Yeah, literally. This shirt that I'm wearing right now, the Dad Life 24/7, 365. You can get one at dadcast.co right now. Print it. By Mr. Joe Moxley himself.
Yes, sir.
Amazing. Today on the show, man, we're stoked. We got singer, songwriter. He's traveled a great distance to play a show right here in our neck of the woods tonight in Medford. Mr. Seth Brown, how are you, sir?
I'm great, guys. Thanks for having us out today.
Absolutely. And joining, I always save the best for last, man, the lovely wife of
Hello.
Seth Brown.
Thanks for having us.
Desiree, otherwise known as Dez.
Yeah.
How are you today? I love your hat.
I'm good. Thanks so much. Me too, actually.
All right.
I found that.
You did. He finds all my cool stuff. My hat, my moccasins, everything.
Nice.
He is. Not even on purpose.
Nice. So, Seth.
Story. Joe is actually my fashion designer. Hey. Joe's been hooking me up with cool clothes as long as I've known him.
He's been doing that for 20 years for me.
Exactly.
If I have literally a section in my closet that is all old school. I mean, we're talking about to Lucky Brand days and friggin' just there's so much Joe Moxley. Before I even became a dad, I've got shirts. I don't even fit in them. Tattoos are good for your soul. I found that lying on my floor the other day.
That's a good one.
Yeah. You told me about that a few days ago.
Mm-hmm. I haven't worn it in 10 years.
Oh, crazy.
I don't know how it ended up on my floor or where it even came from. I'm going to blame the wife for that one. But, you know. I was going to chill back, but it's just not comfy. I'm too of a upright, excited type guy. All right, Seth Brown. Check it out, Seth. The premise of Dadcast is two dads, Nick and I, who talk to other celebrity dads about being dads, the path, the journey, the beginnings, the middles, when the end may pertain, all that good stuff. But I heard talking off the air that you are not a dad in the sense of the word where you have birthed a human, correct?
I have certainly not birthed a human.
Okay, well, not physically. Yeah, or you haven't had a human birthed, you know,
I have not been,
with a partner.
I haven't been in any of that process.
Okay.
Now, but we do have two cats. They're
yes.
Two little boys, the little brothers we adopted out of Sedona about a year ago. And we named one of them Mingus after the Mingus Mountains in northern Arizona.
Right.
And then we named the other one Muggs because he's got this white ring. It looks like he took a big glass of milk, you know?
Uh-huh.
They've been our road cats. They tour with us. They've been on the road with us solid for a year. They've lived in more states than most people I know.
So you're a cat dad.
I'm a cat dad.
And that's what's going to it's going to suffice for today. Now, granted, you don't need to be a dad to be on Dadcast. We all know this. So all good, man. Welcome to Oregon. Tell me about your musical stylings, man. If you were to define yourself, and I know that's hard sometimes, but if you were to label you as a certain genre, what would that be?
I think we've landed on folk rock.
Folk rock, all right.
So my music is very, it's a very storytelling, personal music style. but it's definitely got more of a rock and roll Tom Petty-ish vibe and edge to it than maybe, say, contemporary country, for example.
Okay.
So I've been influenced my whole life by folk bands and classic rock, and so those really play an element in my writing as well.
All right. Yeah.
Now, before we got started, you were rapping, too.
Yeah. Like
I wasn't disappointed.
I keep that for my closest of friends.
He was. What? I was in my zone setting up.
Definitely wasn't Eminem up in here. What was
I'll stick to more on the folks that I like big.
And where have you traveled from? Where's home base?
Yeah, so crazy enough, I grew up in Eastern Oregon in a little town. It was the first .com, and I think the only .com city to ever exist. But the town was called Halfway, Oregon. And when the internet was popping in the 90s for the first time, they renamed that little town for like a year, half.com. Hmm. And I grew up in this town. It's 200 people in the middle of nowhere, out on the Idaho border, Eagle Cap Wilderness, God's Country up there. Grew up on a big buffalo ranch. Oh, wow. 350 head of American bison, literally at our back door growing up.
More bison than people.
100%.
Crazy.
Like 200 people, 300 bison, and then everybody was cattle ranchers. So really cool childhood. Grew up with a huge family, a bunch of siblings on a farm. We raised goats, and my family was all musical. So growing up in our house, it was like 17 different kinds of instruments throughout our house. Everything from accordions to guitars and pianos and stringed instruments and horns and everything. Musical parents, musical siblings. So I started playing when I was just a little kid. It's carried through my whole life. And so now that's what we do full time.
When you say big family, they don't know what you're talking about. So
yeah. Explain what big family is. Joe Moxley.
I've got seven sisters, six older sisters, and a little sister. So
all
the siblings are from the same mom and dad, and no twins or adoptions. And then I have 11 big brothers too.
So same parents,
same mom and dad.
Wow, so Nick, pay attention.
I know
this is where you're heading.
No.
I'm not a dad, but I have to say I have a pretty amazing dad.
That's awesome.
So they had 19 kids, and I'm the 18th. I'm the 12th son. And all of my siblings and my parents are still alive.
12.
And my oldest sibling, my youngest sibling, one of the middle ones, somewhere from the middle batch, and my parents are all going to be at the show tonight.
Really? Tonight?
Tonight, yeah. Here in Medford, Oregon. None of them live here. They're all traveling in.
Is the seventh son going to be here tonight?
Whew. No,
okay. Because I'm freaking out a little bit inside here. Okay, if the seventh son, what's his name?
Oh, hang on. Okay, so we got Pete, Tom, Jake, Steve, Sam, Mike, Joe.
Okay,
what
if Joe?
Yeah, there you go.
If Joe has seven sons, the world is going to end. You understand that, right? The seventh son of a seventh son.
Oh, help me out.
Yeah. So just let him know. You know, let's just stay single, Joe.
Woo.
No pressure.
No pressure, but the world depends on you.
Yeah, seriously, it's been written, it shall be done. At least that's what Iron Maiden said. Anywho.
So
if anyone got that reference, I'm thoroughly impressed.
Nobody here.
Nope.
It's an Iron Maiden song, man. It's actually the name of the album, Seventh Son of a Seventh, and it's neither here nor there. So tell us about the show tonight. What can we expect? Where are we playing? Actually, you know what? Before that, we'll get into that. I'm kind of curious how Joe and you hooked up and linked, and how did you end up coming out here?
100%. Yeah, it all starts actually with Desi. I'll summarize real quick. We sold our home at the end of 2018, and we just knew we had a hit reset on life.
Right.
And so we quit the corporate world. We quit our jobs. We jumped in an Astro van, and we hit the road with thinking we were going to be YouTube, van life YouTube people.
Okay.
So that within like 5 months, that just faded out. We're like, this is the worst, hardest thing. We have no idea what we're doing. But during that time of travel, we were just traveling all over the country, living in this van. And I started writing songs again. And that just really came back to life in me. And when we landed, we basically traveled for a year, ran out of money, and chose Southern Oregon to start over again. And before we went out and got our jobs back and started life again, we were sitting at this dive bar in Rogue River, Oregon.
Okay.
And
Cedarwood?
We saw this dude playing music on this little stage, and she looked at me and she goes, man, if they're paying that guy, I bet somebody would pay you to play. And we kind of just got this wild idea that we were going to just try to make it playing music and keep traveling. So she started calling every place in Oregon that's ever booked music, from coffee shops to bakeries to bars, to wineries. And Joe's crew over at Anchor
yep.
got our horrible little EPK that was like voice recordings to like, you know, just
doing my best.
Just like horrible. And they're like, yeah, dude, we want to give you a shot. Come play music at our winery. And they were one of the first bars, restaurants, businesses in Southern Oregon to give us a shot when we first decided this is what we want to go after. And we went in there and we played and it wasn't very good, honestly, but Joe saw our potential, and he just believed in us right away.
Yeah.
And he said, he goes, where's your merch, man? And I was like I'm nobody, and I think merch is cheesy, to be honest with you. And he's like, okay, uh-huh. So the next time...
It's not something you say to Joe Moxley.
Yeah.
John's accepted.
So I had no idea. So we show up to play our first gig at his winery, and we walk in. And everybody on his staff, including him, has my face this big on their shirts.
Yep.
And it was so cool, man. Like, all the, you know, he just went full Moxley mode, and it was badass. So I saw that, and he's like, you sure you don't want me to make your merch? And I'm like, just send me some options. I'm sure I'll approve them all, you know? And ever since, man, he's made his tons of rad merch, hats, stickers, shirts, onesies, yeah. Hat. I mean, God, it's like a list of rad stuff.
You guys got your own wine.
We might have our own wine. He sent us out on the road where we took off and hit the road at the end of, was it 2020? And we were heading for Sarasota, Florida, or so we thought. And he sent us with like two cases of wine with my face on it. He's like, figure out a way to make some money with this if you can. I was like, I have no idea. It's going to work.
Was that all the expired wine, Joe? And did you relabel
like
it?
Else, you know, we could just drink our way to Florida. And so.
My thing when I met them that night, first of all, you know, you hear lots of music and concerts, but there's something when somebody has that, you, no matter what you do, you end up just, what? You get drawn in and start listening. Mm-hmm. And after it was a great performance, you start talking to somebody. And when they're better than their music, personality-wise, soul-wise, and you connect, you're like, this is a winning combination.
Right.
And then hearing Desi's story of literally quitting her job as an ER nurse.
Yeah, ICU, ER.
To hit the road with her husband and go off this career was, I'm like, wow, you guys are like committed.
Yeah.
It's more than just like playing a local gig. They're making this their life, their living. And I bought in instantly.
That's awesome. I would too. Now, is the YouTube channel still up?
It is, but a lot of the videos have been taken down. I'm not going to lie. There's a band tour video.
What's the name of the YouTube channel?
It's now Seth Brown Entertainment.
Okay.
It used to be the Bag of Browns.
Oh, you went there.
Oh, that's actually, I like that.
Oh, you went there. Damn it.
I'm sorry. Oh, nice. You know.
Smash the table.
It was real.
Anyways, it's summer still there.
I'm carry on. I gotta find this channel.
Oh gosh.
I do this every time because YouTube is like my. We're much more successful, the podcast, on almost everything else other than YouTube. And as you know, YouTube, for lack of a better way to put it, is a fickle bitch.
It's
so challenging because you don't need to subscribe to anyone's stuff to watch their stuff. And, you know, it's got to be good. It's got to be engaging. It's got to be good content for people to subscribe. And we're, you know, it's taken me years to get to where we're at now, but it's starting to, we're pushing 10,000 subs here. So, but, and that's the, yeah, but that's the look, you know, this is the bottom end of all of our other stuff. But so anytime someone says they have a YouTube channel, I have to check it out.
We actually don't see where say we at. Have a YouTube channel almost ever anymore.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I don't know. The most impressive thing we had Emerson Hart from Tonic on last week, and his mom has a YouTube channel with 374,000 subscribers.
Yeah, yeah.
No way.
I'm like, what
does she's amazing.
What is her content?
Also super famous. You know, that helps.
Toys from
no, she some random exactly. She gives advice or something. I can't remember exactly. It's like she just gives advice or something.
Right. Wow.
But just, yeah, I'm like, what the hell?
Seth Brown Entertainment. Yeah, so here we go.
You got to come on the podcast. Get your mom on.
Definitely, right?
I know what she's doing.
See, I stopped talking and everything just shuts down.
You to see me like,
okay, all right.
This is amazing.
They are watching the reaction. So here we go.
This is the reaction.
We got to skip. I'm trying to go to.
This
okay, here we go.
Most viewed YouTube this is like just the reaction.
1,260 subs, give or take. You got your banner is amazing. And right off the bat, I mean, just from a simple looking at the front page on a mobile device, I mean, you're already way ahead of the game. And
nice.
Desiree Brown, everybody.
It's good stuff. Now, I'm going to dive into that inner. I would like to show you in public and live That is a brand new subscribe.
Oh. Yay.
All right. So, you know, you need to return the favor once we're off the air. But and you're going to need to if you want to see this episode, because there are private subscription only.
Exactly.
Not true. Not even close to being
not
true.
Not even a thing.
But, so if you're not subscribed, still go watch.
Yeah.
So, exactly. And I also need to point out, this is not a paid promotion for Moxley Media, this episode, although it really feels like it. All right. So, Seth Brown, you could play a show with any artist, living or dead, that you have not previously played a show with, who would it be?
Yeah.
Oh.
I would have to say Tom Petty, but I think it would be really fun to jam with Aerosmith.
Oh, they're still playing. Dude, let's go to Vegas. I can get you in. Let's go.
I mean, they're still alive, so that kind of...
They are literally... They're playing a residency.
If you're going to put it out there, it might be an easier chance.
It's a little easier sell than Tom Petty.
Yeah, exactly. Might get in a lot of trouble to play with Tom Petty.
Yeah.
Oh, morally. No. Oh, there's my daughter. You know, of course, I tell her I'm doing a podcast at this time, not to call, so she'll call. Should we say hi to her?
Yeah,
tell
you. I always like to embarrass my daughter when I'm in the middle of a podcast episode and she calls.
This is Dadcast.
And there she is, everyone. Say hi to Avery.
Hey.
Hey, Avery.
Yeah, Dadcast is you.
Yeah.
Hi, baby. I'll call you back when I'm done. I love you.
Aw.
How cute.
Welcome to Interruption.
Aerosmith has a residency at the Park MGM in Vegas. And they're playing three nights a week through December.
Have you seen them recently?
What's your definition of seen? Did I watch them perform?
Right.
Or did I see them literally as they're walking through the casino and the restaurant that I eat at? Because yes to that second
yes
part.
Yes to the second one, yeah. But no concert.
I haven't seen the concert. I did see Aerosmith many, many, many years ago.
Yeah.
But
does the dude look like a lady?
He does. Yeah. Yeah.
He looks like everybody's grandma.
Hey, he does.
Crazy little story there. When we lived in Nashville where we met, she was getting her nails done at some little strip mall nail place, and up rolls this huge Rolls Royce, and Steven jumps out and walks in and sits like two chairs down from her, and she's sitting there like, Steven's getting his nails done for the Grammys tonight or whatever it was. It was
kind of weird. But I did take a selfie with his car when I left.
He's really gracious for the most part. Right. You mean getting? But he can't move. So you should have went and got that selfie. Like, so you should have been like, big, hey, Steven.
Right time, right place.
If you're tacky, you got nothing.
I've interviewed Joe Perry before.
Oh, right on. He's the unsung hero of Aerosmith, in my opinion.
The show Hollywood Vampires, you know, he's so a member good. With Johnny Depp and friggin'
dude, he's so underrated.
Alice Cooper and
the DeLeo
Matt
brothers.
Sorum. Yeah. And, yeah,
is Jeff
there's,
Beck part of that, or is Beck and Johnny doing something separate?
They're
separate.
Doing something separate, yeah.
Gotcha.
But those were, man, I mean... Are you going through Nevada anytime soon within the next 2 months by any chance?
No,
we'll be there in the spring,
year.
Though.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, they will be done with their residency. I was saying, if you were, I'm not even kidding, I could probably pull some strings and make that wish of yours happen. Well, but
should we go to Nevada?
Yeah. Let's go.
It might be worth it.
Turns out our
what are you guys doing tomorrow?
We're going to share. I'll go.
Let's go.
I literally have a suite booked for the next 4 days, and I haven't decided if I'm going or not.
Meet me in Vegas.
Tomorrow, yeah. I'm deciding if I'm going to go with Jesse or not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hey, it's an option. But when we're done with the podcast, let's share info.
I'll
make a couple phone calls. Yeah. And if it can happen, it's got to happen, right?
We'll.
I mean, we got to figure something out. We got to. I mean, Joe's going. Maybe. We're all going. We're going to watch Seth hopefully, you know, get on stage and play a little duet with Steven Tyler and Aerosmith. How amazing would that be?
We'll cancel the private shows if we have to.
And for anyone watching or listening to this episode, sometime in the future, it is currently October 2022. Say this is 4 years from now and it never happened. Man, I'm so sorry. Okay, I tried. I probably ran my mouth and it wasn't able to happen. But I know the friggin' owners of that area and
on the plus side,
and the restaurant.
I also know Joe Perry's publicist, so we can.
Well, there you go.
Make it happen.
We can make things happen.
A boy can dream.
All right.
Yep.
Now, shifting gears.
It's not a bad thing to show up with your guitar and like set up right in front of the stage.
Like,
whoops.
Just walk. You know, you and a ladder. No one stops you if you have a ladder.
Exactly.
You just walk
and
in the joint.
And a lunchbox.
I got to be honest. When we lived in Nashville, there was a couple of bars that were really tough to get into. And I was tipped off by another local musician that all you really had to do is show up with an empty guitar case and be like, where's the green room?
Exactly.
I gotta be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
I got into some green rooms.
So, and I mean, I'm gonna jump in here because I know the connections for everybody. He also in Nashville knows and knew a lot of upcoming artists.
Yeah.
Was roommates or housemates with
a short
one.
Time lived with him before we got married and
yeah.
stuff like that.
So cool stories that way. Russell Dickerson.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, he was a good friend of ours. Kaylee and Russ were good buddies.
He sang at our wedding.
He did sing at our wedding.
Wow. That's and, awesome. How long ago was the wedding?
2015, so whatever the math is on that.
7 years? And there's no kids yet? What's going on? I'm going to get personal.
Babyless Browns on purpose.
Here's the thing. When you purple? Have 18 siblings.
Valid point.
How many nieces and nephews
do I have?
Direct, and like I think we're close to 5 greats.
Oh, my goodness.
So we have plenty to love on.
Right, gotcha.
And you can get it. Yeah, you can give them back.
Yeah, right.
And you never know that a prophecy of the 7th son, it could be the 12th son having the 5th. You know, we don't want to push exactly. anything. So yeah. Very, just, very valid point. Okay, all right.
But yeah, no, our lifestyle lends really, really well to not having kids. So we're just rolling that way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, where have you guys been in this last month?
Okay.
Last month.
Take it, darling.
Oh, boom. Gosh. I don't know. Gosh. So October, really, we've just been in Illinois. But we left from Colorado September 4th, and we've been all the way Nebraska, Iowa, Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, Oregon. Technically back to Colorado for a layover on our way.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're hitting the road hard right now and seeing some towns. And
some tunes.
Yeah. Tunes and new tunes, new towns.
Seen some things.
So have you reached out to the old friends like Russell to see if you could do like an opening gig with him on his tour?
No. I have a weird love-hate relationship with Nashville. And,
Is the hate part of it the humidity? Because, Jesus.
It's a little sticky down there. No, for me, so I grew up writing songs, right? I wrote the first song when I was 10 years old. And I wrote songs pretty consistently until I moved to Nashville I was like 24 or 5. And Nashville writes their music as a team, mm-hmm. which is cool, but it's a co-writing culture.
Right.
So you get in there and they'll basically say, everybody bring your ideas and we're going to put you in a room with 4 or 5 other guys.
mm-hmm.
Take the best hook, the most catchy idea. Let's run it through
right.
the structure. And then, well, let's pump out hits. And that's what you do in Nashville. And I tried really hard for about a year to get into the swing of that. And I could not do it. And eventually, I just stopped writing altogether. And then eventually, I just stopped playing. And I went like 4 years and just was done.
Yeah, I got another buddy, Noah. He's the guitar player for Brett Young. Same thing. He loves writing
really,
music, playing and stuff. He had his own band on the side that was amazing. And then just got burnt out with the whole get in a room with 4 or 5 people with different ideas, too many cooks in the kitchen kind of
deal. I feel like they're, you know, Nashville's doing a lot of things that work, obviously. But everybody is just wired differently. And I've found that for me, I'm just wired different way. For example, when we got on the road, I started writing songs. I wrote 30 songs that I'm proud of in the first year.
Nice.
And then since then, I'm pushing, I don't know, 50 or 50 something new songs in the last 2.5 years. And those are songs about real life, about real experiences, about sitting around campfires with strangers we met on the Flathead River in northern Montana when we were, you know, exploring glacier. Those are songs about friendships that crash and burn. Those are songs about real shit that goes down in marriage and about growing up in big, crazy family and growing up on a farm. And I'm of the opinion that if you're going to take somebody's time to say something, then say something. So I want my music to cut through all of the typical cliches and the shit that you hear every single radio station. It's just so predictable. I'm like, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel, but I'm just trying to sing from an honest place.
And I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah, that is.
And I'd like to make an observation right now because you weren't looking at her, but I was. If you could see the look your wife was just giving to you during that little speech. I have never seen love so singularly personified in look than what I just watched her when you were talking, man. It's amazing.
This is a true story. So this is we've had this topic a number of times because I've had Seth play some house parties for me, and we sit around. We have 30, 40 people sitting around, and half the time we're watching Seth, and then half the room is watching Desi because she's just
watching
like,
Desi watching him.
Yes,
right.
So now here's the thing, too. If you guys don't know, she's part of the duo now. So they play music together. And for me, it's so cool because I used to watch her watch him. And even my sister goes, that's not real. That can't be real. She loves him so much. That's not a thing. And I'm like, ah, oh, sis, I think it is, you know? And then my wife's watching. We're all just watching her go, man, she really loves him. So for me, it's so cool. And I got to see him play for the first time last night at a private party. And now I get to watch them both. And she's still watching him. It's unreal. But
And I see it just now.
Yeah, I love that reaction because, I said, I've seen it so many times. Yeah. People are like, are you watching this? Like, she's staring at him. Like, this is the first time she's seen him play.
Yeah.
And
bravo,
me,
you two.
Seen him play
bravo.
More than anybody. Thanks. So,
thanks for loving me, honey.
I do.
Giving you plenty of reasons not to.
As a singer-songwriter, I would like to play you an 18-second clip, if this is okay.
Take me.
My 9-year-old daughter, okay? Yes. I flew to Vegas 2 weeks ago, okay? In the time I left the house, went to the airport, got on the plane, and landed, we're talking 3 hours. Mm-hmm. She wrote this, sang it, and put a video behind it. You don't need to see the video, no big deal, but it's an 18-second clip. It's the beginnings of her very first song she's ever
That's
written.
Great, man.
I want to know your thoughts. You ready?
Yeah, I want to hear it.
All right.
Better not be messing with me.
Nine.
Awesome.
Oh, I'd say she nailed about 90%. The end's a little shaky, baby. Come on, we've talked about it. But your dad is too hard on you, I know. But it still gives
great.
Me chills.
That
my baby girl, I mean, she put pen to paper, had no tune or anything in her heart, and she came up with that. And then so cool, went man. As far as to put it on a video
yeah, love it.
With the words, you know. And then I was just like, you did this while I was in the plane?
That means it's a gift.
I hope so. I hope so.
I'm just
so.
Wondering, yeah, where she gets it from, you know?
Right? I've got a pretty artistic bone in right
it.
About there,
I
but,
it,
you know, I sang as a kid. I played instruments.
Right on,
I, you know, I do the radio thing and all this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I want to say it's from mom, but it's not.
It's a combo.
That's
it's,
cool.
It's yeah, definitely a combo.
Yeah.
But, you know, her sister, too. Her big sister was big on it when she was younger.
That's
but.
Great.
I'm absolutely encouraging and pressing her to move on with that. I'd like to see where this goes.
Right on.
Because
dude.
That just, it floored me. I mean, I almost had to start crying in the middle of the airport when I landed and I had service.
Yeah.
I was like, this is so amazing. And she's like, Daddy, this one's for you. And in a text, and it was attached.
Yeah,
and I was just
I'm keeping that in writing because
yeah.
I'm getting royalties on this.
One day. We need another 2 minutes, though, at least.
Yeah. All
right, girl? We need to continue it. But,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, I love the artistry and the culture and all that, man. It's
That's great, man.
Absolutely amazing. Nick, I know it's crazy, but do you have a fast five of any sort?
No, I don't.
Okay, let's just, I'm not going to steal your thunder like I did yesterday. But so this is a segment that we do via Zoom usually. It's five fast questions. You can answer them or you can don't, whatever. They're not personal. They're not crazy. Sometimes they can be.
But you guys can just join in.
Just join in.
Join in.
So I'd like, and I stole Nick's thunder yesterday because he wasn't feeling
totally
well.
Totally threw me off.
Dude, you're getting thrown off.
I know.
You got to keep the groove.
Exactly.
You got to stay in the pocket.
You know? Stay in the pocket.
That's right. All right, if you guys could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be?
This is definitely
Seth Brown and Jazzy Brown.
We had that conversation yesterday.
What is happening?
Listen, we had that conversation yesterday. Sorry, this is going to be a long question. Because you drive downtown Medford and it says Chevy's opening soon. 1.5 miles.
That friggin' sign's been there for 10 years?
Yeah. I'm like, we can put your billboard up there right there.
So Chevy's is not coming?
No.
Damn, but like, it does that drives me crazy. Every time I drive past that thing. I'm
right. Like, what's stopping us from one night just putting something up
that's
there?
That's what I'm saying. A Seth Brown.
This is what you put up there. Tell him.
Tomorrow night?
Tell
him. Yeah, we put a big picture of Campfire Currency and a big picture of Desi's Diaries.
Did you guys know my wife just released a full-length 343-page all-original novel last week in Chicago?
I do now.
I shouldn't say Chicago. Illinois. It was outside of Chicago. The first year we went on the road, we sold all our shit and hit the road in a van. We spent that first year, and as I was writing all these songs, she was journaling every crazy thing that happened.
Right.
And in that first year, she ended up with over 100,000 words, and she got with an editor recently, that is now a novel that just released. She's already sold probably 100 copies, and it's back.
And it's amazing. I actually physically held it yesterday.
Do you have a copy
and
with you?
The feel of the book, you know when you get that feel and it's like the flat cover, and it's like a matte, and the photo's awesome. Seth took the photo. Just in your hands, you're like, this is money. It's like, it's not legit. In like the literal sense, but like good, sweet, awesome. It felt so cool.
Nice.
And like you said, there's power behind something that's physically made with touch, too. Mm-hmm. She loves signing them and sending them out compared to them just ordering it on Amazon or something
right.
else.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's really
cool. And where can, listeners and viewers get such copies?
Of course. Desysdiaries.com with a Y. Desysdiaries.com. And you can click right there. Or do you want, I'll sign it and put it in the mail to you.
Yeah, buddy. All right. This is not a paid promotion for Desi's Diaries.
But order.
Yeah, but get it. Seriously, go buy one. And buy some merch. Dadcast.co. Come on. Dadcast. Come on.
So we'd have her book and my album, which I was fortunate enough to release 2 years ago. It's a full 12-track, all-original record called Campfire Currency.
Sweet.
And those are songs and stories from the road to. And... that was recorded.
I was going to say, why do you call it Campfire Currency? But yeah, I already know the answer. And then I just realized this is part of his five questions. And
yeah.
That's what happens.
It's a good question. I mean, I get asked that a lot, actually. And the Campfire Currency came from a conversation Desi and I was having where we realized after that first year of traveling, man, we ended up in different states, different campsites all over the country, man, from Big Bend, Texas National Park to Florida to, you know, Northern Montana, right? And everywhere we showed up, I'm a little bit on the social side. She's a little bit more reserved. But we'd roll in and I'd spot other tents and vans and campers and whatever. I'd be like, let's get fire going. You throw hope packs in the fire and I'll go rally up everybody and see if they want to come up for some music. So we would roll into a site, no joke, and I would go like knocking on people's tents and they'd be like, who are you? I'd be like, hey man, we're having a fire, some food, bring a chair, drinks, we're going to be playing some music, come kick it with us. So this was a repeated thing that happened throughout our whole first year. We were talking one evening, and I was like, you know, it's cool. I was like, everybody that we meet out here, they all have something unique to bring. And I was like, it's like the currency you trade with out on the road. You know, people are trading art. People are trading food. People are trading drinks. People are just taking care of whatever need is there. And I was like, I feel like my currency, like my campfire currency is like, my music. And then I was like, Campfire Currency. That's the name of the album. And I was like, that just explains.
It's more than just the name of an album to me, though.
It's a cool.
Yeah, it's almost a defining you, at least in this chapter of life, right?
Yeah, I think so, man. I think it's very much, we've talked about it, and it's like, it's a campfire culture that we want to kind of take everywhere.
Yeah.
And, it's when you show up and you get a whole bunch of people that are busy. Life is crazy. Everybody's distracted. Everybody's overwhelmed. Everybody's trying to make it survive. And when you sit around a campfire and you start playing some music, that's when it's like the world sort of just stands still, sort of fades, and people are like, everything's going to be okay, for even if it's just for that moment in time.
That's awesome.
Well, Seth Brown... Nick, I'm going to interrupt you. We're no more. There's no more Fast Five. How about we pretend there's a campfire happening right here and you play us a song? A song that may or may not be appearing tonight at your show, if that's okay.
I was thinking about this, and there's a song. It's actually, funny enough, it's one of Joe's favorite tunes I've written that he's heard so far. And when we got on the road, life became pretty unconventional pretty quick. You could leave your town, your people, your friend group, your social life, and you're just out there alone. And you think at seasons that friendships last forever, and you get out in the world and you realize that not all of them do. So this song is a song about friendships that don't make it, and it's a song called Okay This Way.
I love this song because I always dedicate it to my best bud, Kurt. We all know Kurt, right?
You're still great, buddy.
I still do, because it's a song about kind of, you know, friendships falling apart. Even though we're still best friends, I'm just waiting for that to happen. So I still, like, this is about us in the future. We're going to break up one day.
We're going to break up. It's going to happen.
Here's your song.
Yeah, definitely play for sure.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Thank you. close as brothers for most of our lives. But then you went your way and I went mine. I hope you know I didn't mean no harm. Just doing what I can to keep moving on. Cause you went your way and I went mine. And I can still remember those good old times. I ain't saying I don't miss it, I'm just saying people change. Oh, but I'm learning to be okay this way. Want you to know that I still love you. People move on, that's just the truth. See, I don't have any expectation on you, no, no. Well, all I'm asking is neither would you. Cause you went your way and I went mine. And I can still remember those good old times.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad, man. Amazing, man. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Artist in his element, man. That was so good. We just missing the campfire, man. Yeah. I thought about lighting this table on fire for a second. I did, but...
Like, you better not.
He, ladies and gentlemen, is Seth Brown. She is...
Desiree, baby.
Is it Desiree Brown as well?
It is. It's okay. The Seth
Desi,
Brown
Desiree.
Duo.
The Seth Brown duo is what we're officially
the Seth Brown duo.
These days. Yeah.
You guys, you're beautiful, man.
Thanks, man.
Both of you. Just
appreciate
woof.
It.
And the way she looks at you. Woof. Yeah.
And those eyes.
Beautiful. I have one final question, and I'm going to ask it, Nick, even though I have absolutely no business asking this question right now. But it may be funny, or it may fail miserably. Okay? But here we go. I think it's going to work well, though, because of the backstory I know. They're going, what's happening right now? And the question is, if you were to impart one bit of advice onto any new dad, what would it be? I think you can answer this well because of the experience, man.
Any new dad. This is a bold move for me to be speaking right now.
Okay. That's what I'm saying.
And we should leave it at that.
Maybe so. Maybe just say, drinking is real. Don't give up. Keep drinking. No? No, I'm just kidding. Man,
It's all going to work out in the end. Just keep your head down.
Keep your head down. Keep on keeping on. All right. Seth Brown, Dez, the Seth Brown duo, Joe Moxley. Thank you for having us in your place of business. I love this place. It's beautiful. We'd love to do some more here in the future.
Absolutely.
Thanks for inviting us. Nick Martin, buddy. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah.
I hope you get better. I got to say that every single time. We're getting there.
We're getting close.
You know, we've talked about his medical thing, but we're just going to leave that one alone. To everyone watching this episode, listening worldwide, check out the Seth Brown duo. You just heard it. I mean, he needs more. You need more of it in your life. Go check it out. And of course, if you're watching on the YouTube, like it up, subscribe, do all the good things, and we'll catch you on the very next episode. Everybody, thank you guys, man. You were amazing.
That was awesome.
Thanks for having us, you guys.
Thank you.
So we meet up on the desert outside Sedona. We got this huge campfire going. The kind where we're like throwing gasoline on.
It's funny, but it's true. 100%, we have a video.
Of course, the day turned to night, and we're all sitting around, and all of a sudden, we just sort of realize that the sky, man, is just stars from horizon to horizon. I've never seen so many stars in my life. And I was picking. And she's like, yeah.
I'm like, let me get my phone. I gotta record this.
And so right around that campfire that night, she captured this song on her phone. This one's called Billion Stuff. Tonight. Are you feeling all right? Yeah.